Jesus was mocked and persecuted in a most shameful way. We have all been made aware of these kinds of incidences happening around our world, around our nation, where those who are stronger or more powerful beat on and mock someone who is different, less powerful, weaker, or perhaps simply from another country, another race, or religion. Such behavior reveals our depravity as humans. This is the ugly side of humanity, and it is this kind of evil that Jesus came to save us from. In saving us from it, he endured it without a word. What are we called to endure in our own lives that we perhaps don't deserve? John 19:4-8. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Judeans answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has claimed to be the Son of God." Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. Pilate, though he had been given power and authority, did not use it. Instead, he deferred out of fear to those who were bloodthirsty. What would have happened if Pilate had used his power and authority to stand up for Jesus and oppose the crowd, denying them of their call to violence? Might Pilate have lost his position or even been made a martyr himself? Or perhaps nothing would have occurred. Whatever the risk, he was not willing to take it. We too have power and authority in our own ways, often more than we realize. How do we handle it? Do we stand up for the rights of others when the occasion calls for it? Or do we, out of fear, do nothing and remain silent? If so, what is the consequence of silence in the face of evil? John 19:9-15. Pilate entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Judeans cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the stone pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Judeans, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." The crowd, though resentful of their rulers of Roman rule, claimed to follow the emperor and even used the emperor as an excuse to fulfill their desire for Jesus' death. Sometimes, when humans are in the presence of goodness, holiness, of light, of truth, perhaps even the truth about ourselves, it can feel too much for us to bear. We may resent the light and the exposure that truth brings. Who or what do we avoid because it exposes or challenges us in ways we're not quite ready for? John 19:16-18. Then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Friedrich Nietzsche is known for having said, "God is dead." What if we turned that statement on its head and asked, what does it mean to us that God died on a cross, died by torture in a terrible crucifixion? Christ died the death of a common criminal, despicable enemy of the state. The mocking, the persecution, the beating culminated in death. Why did God allow that? Why does God allow suffering at all? While it is deep mystery on one level, we also know that God used this suffering and death to bring about redemption, to reveal God's vast love, and to rescue us from the power of evil and death. So what in our lives must die in order to be redeemed and given new life? John 19:19-25. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Judeans read the description because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Latin and Greek. Then the chief priest said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'this man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven into one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Nothing was left to Jesus. Absolutely nothing. Not even his clothing. All he had was stripped away from him that day, that horrific event, and he was left naked and suffering in agony and vulnerability. Whatever we may suffer, whatever loss we may endure, we are reminded that Jesus is no stranger to suffering, and he has walked that path and continues to walk that path with us. And yet Jesus told us that to lose one's life is to gain one's life. We are not alone. We are not misunderstood in God's eyes. So how might our losses, our suffering, find transformation in the sight of God? John 19:25-30. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus died surrounded by the three Marys, Mary, his mother, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. In addition to that was his beloved disciple, John. Everyone else had betrayed, denied, or deserted Jesus, but these four put themselves at risk for being associated with Jesus and standing with him. They did it out of love. Who are the people that God has given you to stand by your side? And who are you willing to stand beside, regardless of the risk? John 19:31-37. Since it was the day of preparation, they did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who'd been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified, so that you also may believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled: "None of his bones shall be broken." And again, another passage of scripture says, "They will look on the one whom they have pierced." When we relive and recount the events of our Lord's death, we are reminded of the fact that part of the reason Jesus was on the cross was because he had you and me in mind. He loved you, sought to draw you closer to the heart of God. Our response to this should be to seek that forgiveness and restoration, and ultimately to praise God for the love so strikingly exhibited to all of us on the cross. What might you thank and praise God for today on this Good Friday? John 19:38-42. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one, because of his fear of the leaders, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with spices and linen cloths according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. I have witnessed the loving care that family members have given their loved ones at the time of death. It is both beautiful and terribly heartbreaking at the same time. Having been there at the time of death so many times, I can attest to the fact that God is very, very much present in that moment. It is a holy and sacred experience, even with all the grief and sorrow. God is present always, but that presence is deeply felt, I believe, at our birth and at our death. There is an irony here on Good Friday, because in the case of Jesus, we have been invited to be present to God both at his birth, when we celebrate Christmas, and at his death, both literally when Jesus was laid in that tomb and figuratively as we commemorate Jesus' death today on Good Friday. We are asked to be present with Jesus, even as Christ has been present to each one of us and is present to us always. How might we live our lives being present to Christ more fully?